The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with you for hour number two here. I just wanted to give you an update. The Yankees are up 4-3. LeMahieu's up, runner on first, top of the ninth, nobody out, and they lead game one of the DS with the rival Rays at Petco in San Diego. And this has been a very interesting game. Bottom line is, everything was pretty much home runs. You know what I mean? Like, let's face facts. Frazier hit one out, Judge hit one out, getting Shiggy hit one out. And then I told you the Rays had home runs as well off of Cole. Cole did better than Snell, though. Blake Snell had trouble. He threw too many pitches, and he couldn't, like, he was already in the 80s in the, like, fifth inning. He had already thrown 80-plus pitches in the fifth inning. So he was laboring, and Cole was still dealing. At one point, Cole, I think in the fifth, had the Rays had the bases loaded, and he walked Choi intentionally to load him, and then he went up against Marlowe, and he blew it by him like 99 miles an hour, cooking BB, and just absolutely struck him out swinging. And so I just think he pitched better. I mean, I won't deny that he gave up the home runs, and he does that. He's been known to give up home runs. That's his problem, and particularly against the Rays. This guy, Choi, unless I'm mistaken, I could be wrong completely because I usually am, but the guy, I think, has hit like four home runs in his career. Three of them have come against Cole. The guy doesn't ever hit home runs, but he hits them against Cole every time he faces him. He hit a two-run shot tonight. So now they got runners on first and second, Judge up, nobody out in the ninth, trying to add to their lead of 4-3. On the Rays. And so they got a huge chance here tonight to get a one-zip lead. You only need to win three in the division series.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Yankees have Hicks up, and he pops out. I don't know if it's going to make it into the seats. It made it into the dugout, so he got lucky. Hicks is up, 1-2 count, 2 on, 1 out, top of the ninth. Judge struck out looking on a slider, and then right on the corner, it was really close, so you got to give him the strike. And then now you got Hicks up, Aaron Hacks, I like to call him. I am not a fan of his. I'm done with this guy. I don't even care if he drives in the runs now. I still don't think he's worth anything. They gave him a boatload of money, too, to be worthless. And he was worthless this year for the 2 months. He hit 200 at best. I thought he was terrible. And that's just bottom line. I mean, it's just there's no getting around it. Of course, he gets the single to drive in the run. So now it's going to be 5-3. I still don't like him. Safe at the plate, the catcher dropped the ball. So Hicks comes through. I don't like him any more than that. Today when I said I think Chris Davis doesn't matter anymore, and he hit a home run right when I said it. I don't think he matters anymore. I don't. And I'm not afraid of that A's lineup, and the Astros still beat their ass 10-5. And Correa had a huge game. I won't deny that the Astros have, I don't think they have the pitching that obviously they once had when they had Verlander and Cole. That's been the difference for me. They still have the same basic team core itself. The lineup is very tough, but obviously they're not cheating anymore, so they're not hitting like they used to when they all hit 300, 350 because they knew every pitch that was coming, particularly Altuve, who claims he never cheated, but you know he cheated. The guy used to hit 350 and win MVPs, and now he hits, you know, 210. What does that tell you? Oh, he's just having a bad year. Whatever. Hicks is terrible. He hit 200 the whole year. I could be wrong, but I don't even think, like, I just had a guy reach out to me right now to make fun of the fact that Hicks had the hit because he wasn't listening to the radio show either. He knows that I think Hicks is a bum in terms of his bat. I just cannot get into Aaron Hicks. So here's the deal. For the season, he hit 225, 6 homers, 21 RBIs. I mean, his OPS was 793. But right now, you know, right now in this series, right, I guess he's had 5 hits against this team in 29 at-bats. And then in the regular season, I was just looking at his numbers. He had 21 RBIs in the regular season. That was his first RBI in the playoffs right there, I believe, just now, that he drove in that run to make it 5-3. That's a huge cushion run, I'll give you that, but I'm not into his game. In the Cleveland wins, in the closing game, he went 1-for-5. In the first game, he went 0-for-3. And then at the end of the season, the last game against Miami, 0-for-4. I mean, it was just watching him is brutal. Watching him strike out and do nothing is just common. That's just a commonplace. Every time I turn around, I'm seeing that guy do nothing. And then, of course, when I say he does nothing, he gets a RBI to make the game 5-3. But it doesn't mean I like him. So whatever. I don't care what he does. I still think he's a hack. And it is what it is. They gave that guy like $80 million to hit 225. Honestly, how funny is that, that they pay guys now $80 to $100 million and they can't hit 250? I mean, is that not crazy to anybody? I remember, and seriously, you can call me whatever you want. I don't care what you think of me. Know that for starters. But here's the deal. When I grew up, and I mean, I've been watching this game. I'm 55 years old. There were guys constantly hitting. George Brett was tinkering with 400. He was my favorite player. Can you imagine Pete Rose ever hitting 225? I mean, honestly, seriously, there are guys like forever that have been. Can you imagine even Chipper Jones hitting 225? I mean. Look at your team, Mafia. The Mets up and down. Your best player, Pete Alonso. Is he not the best player on the team?
Yeah, I would say he's the best overall.
But what he hit 52, 53 home runs a year before? What did he do this year? Did he hit 210? I mean, honestly, he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible. So can you explain to me how...
It's not even, you were saying, like, you know, you making it sound like it made you sound old by saying, oh, you know, when I remember when guys did this, but even when I was a kid, you know, 15, 20 years ago, like it was, you had to hit, you know, at least 275, 280 to stay in the majors. If you were hitting 250, they were talking about demoting you. Now, if you hit 250, as long as you hit out of the park every, you know, like fifth time that you get up there and actually get a hit, then all of a sudden you're an all-star. It's ridiculous how 300 is no longer like the baseline for what people are supposed to do. Now people, you know, if you get to 280, it's a miracle, and you're, you know, acting like you're a Hall of Famer. And a lot of the batting averages here was 231.
Guys don't hit home runs every five at bats in Major League Baseball.
No, every like five hits. That?
Oh, to have five hits?
No, like every fifth hit. But even then, you're right. They don't even do it that often. But yeah, like
are you kidding me? There's not one guy in the league that hits a home run every five at bats. But there, like, but there's how about? How about what maybe you should have said was nowadays guys hit 210 and they get one home run every 50 at bats.
Right.
The guys that hit 210 don't have a home run every five at bats. A guy that hits 210 never does anything. The guy hits a home run once a month. And then they make $50 to $80 million. That's crazy. Now, I know that it's spread out, right? Over time, their contract, but, it's like I said, they gave Aaron Hicks around $80 million. He hasn't been worth $8 million. Ever since they gave him that money, after he had a decent season, he's been terrible. Ever since he signed that deal, he has been an atrocity. And he's a switch hitter. Always talking about he's a switch hitter. You know what? Whatever. He can't hit from either side of the plate.
Right. If you don't hit good from either side, then what's his worth? Like, I don't care if you hit both sides. If you hit 230 from each, then how about you focus on one and hit 280?
Right. Like tonight I saw him hit from both sides of the plate and he had the RBI there, but like, I almost fell over when I saw him have a hit. I almost fell over because honestly, by the way, the Falcons just scored again. So now they're hovering around, you know, I think they're starting to hover around. Now you're telling me Stanton just hit a bomb. It's 9-3 Yankees. I think he just hit a grand slam. And now they beamed Gio Urshela right after the grand slam. So here we go with the war between these two teams. He just threw right at his head. He didn't hit him, but he threw right at his head 100 miles an hour. But here's the deal. They just, I think he just hit a grand slam. Unbelievable. Stanton hits the grand slam to make it 9-3, a 411-foot shot. LeMahieu, Hicks, and Wade scored. And Stanton getting involved. When Stanton and Judge hit home runs, they're very hard to beat. Just like when Anthony Davis has 30-plus points and LeBron has 20-plus points, forget it, they don't lose. They don't lose at all. But the first pitch after the grand slam was a 100-mile-an-hour heater at Urshela's head. Very high cheese. So, but the Yankees are going to win game one. They're up 9-3 in the ninth. And that's icing on the cake, that grand slam by Giancarlo Stanton who has played all of about 15 games the entire summer. Because he's always injured too. Cream puff. But there's the home run. Oh my God, the dead center. He just golfed it out. Look at this bomb. Boom. All the way out. There you go. Just over the glove of the outfielder. He was up on the wall, but that's just a gigantic game ender for the Yankees. So we'll keep our eyes on this Falcon game. Are they going to backdoor bettors tonight?
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Stanton hits the grand slam and the Yankees are going to win this game. They're up 9-3. Do you know that he's hit a home run in all three playoff games? Because they beat Cleveland twice to sweep. And now this game, they played three playoff games and he's hit a home run in each game. And Judge has two home runs as well. And so Frazier hit one tonight. That kid, he's just been given the shaft by this team. Like, they've sent him down so many times, he's dizzy. Meanwhile, and that's over the last few years, they've been torturing him. Meanwhile, the guy just rakes. I think the guy hits incredibly well, and I'm surprised they don't use him every single day. Now, they finally started playing him every day. He's earned it, right? But they messed with that kid's head. They should have traded him. They kept him, though, which was smart on their part because they finally use him. They never used him before. They just... They only played him when guys were injured, and they never brought him up, and they never kept him up. He was always getting sent back down, and he's been a stud for them with the bat. I know he's had problems in the outfield and with a glove and everything. It is what it is. You can't have everything. Like, your catchers normally don't hit. It's a rare day you get some catcher that rakes, right? And then these guys like Sanchez has just been atrocious. But he's been coming around of late. He's had big sack fly the other night to tie the game in Cleveland in the rain and win to, eventually they won the game. LeMahieu had the next hit, but it was Sanchez that had the sack fly that tied it. So he's had some home runs as well. I know he was literally hitting under 200 this year. It was so embarrassing how bad he was. But the deal is there's all kinds of guys that don't produce, but they play him. You know, they play him every day in the lineup for whatever reason. They maybe they're bad with the glove or whatever, but they can get on base. Maybe they can steal bases. Maybe they score runs. Whatever it is. Maybe they can lay down a sacrifice bunt, whatever. But the bottom line is that Frazier was bad in the field and good with the bat. They still sent him down all the time. They just always he was always the odd man out. And it's unbelievable because I actually thought he was really good. I think he's a really good player in terms of hitting. If a guy can rake, if a guy can hit, if a guy can hit home runs, drive in runs, every time he's up, cause some kind of damage, and he gets wood on the ball, and he just constantly keeps the ball in play, I love guys like that. I need that guy in my lineup every day. Unlike they have guys on that team that'll go 0-for all the time. Just constantly dropping donuts. So anyway, the Packers are up 27-16. They have the rock. They're driving again. They just got another first down. They're at the 28 of the Falcons. And there's 8:40 and rolling left in the game. Now, the deal is this. If they don't score here, which the Falcons could stiffen up and stop them, and maybe they kick a field goal or something and go up 29-16, but you know the Falcons are going to get the ball again. And they might get it. I mean, they might even get it twice. You never know. But 8 minutes is a lot of time in the NFL, I got to tell you. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things happen in 8 minutes in an NFL game. But if Rodgers were to, like, score here, which they're not moving the ball, all of a sudden now they lose four on a little screen to Jones. And Jarrett reads it, tackles him for a loss. So it is what it is. Now they're going to we'll see if they get stopped. And if all they can get out of this right now, it's a pretty long field goal where they are right now. I mean, they're at the Falcons 34 or something like that. I mean, it's not the longest field goal I've ever seen. Crosby can kick that for sure, but they're on a 7-play, 44-yard drive. They're trying to kill time. 7.5 minutes left. Rodgers has the ball. So if they score, they're going to cover. If they get a field goal, more than likely, they're going to cover. Now he gets sacked all the way back at the 45. Rodgers goes down, and that's the end of that. Now you can't even kick the field goal. Now it's going to be third down and like 25, 30. And he looks like he got like injured or something on the play. He looks all banged up after that play. I don't know why. I just think he stumbled around. I didn't think he took a shot or anything. I just thought it looked like he stubbed he got jammed up. He tripped on his own feet and looks like he was in some discomfort, but he's out there. Third and 25. I was right about the distance. Let's see if he gets this. He gets everything else. They're not going to get it here. Jones, they just got back down to the 30. So there's that. Now they got to kick the field goal, see if they can get Crosby to kick one through. He looks like he got banged up on that. He's leaving the field. Are you watching this, Mafia? He looks like he got injured. Rodgers looks
He looks like he got shaken up on that play.
He totally looks injured and uncomfortable, like something's wrong.
Yeah, it looks like he went down awkwardly, and then he had the defensive player just land on top of him as he was kind of going down in a weird position. So maybe something got tweaked a little bit, turned. I don't know. We're going to have to say that doesn't look good for them. I mean, this game's pretty much wrapped up, but still, that's not good for them or fantasy players if he's hurt for a while and has to miss a couple games here.
All right, so it's 30-16 now. How is that? So it's 30-16 with just about 6 minutes to go. And now the Falcons will get the ball. And we'll see what happens in terms of them marching down the field, see if they can score or whatever. But anyway, so going back to the other game, I just wanted to say a couple of things in terms of the Chiefs. So at one point tonight, they were up 6-3 and they were doing nothing. And then you turn the channel, you blink, you go to the bathroom, you go get a beer, you come back and they're blowing them out. It was unbelievable. Like it was 6-3 at the half. Next thing you know, they're kicking their ass 26-10. And I think at some level, it comes down to, I mean, Brian Hoyer sucks and that's all there is to it. He is the epitome of a journeyman backup quarterback. He is not the worst quarterback I've ever seen. There's a lot of guys in the league right now, I think, that are worse than him, that are backups, that are worse than him. So I'm not completely unsatisfied or whatever if he plays. And, you know, I think he can actually hang in there and run the offense, make a few throws, manage it, be serviceable. But at the end of the day, he always loses. And I mean, literally, and he always gives it up. I will never forget seeing him play for the Texans that day against the Chiefs and throw five picks in a playoff game. I'll never forget that, right? How can one guy throw five picks in one game? It's beyond me. And then tonight, he was just so unbelievable. He got sacked right before the half. Then he got sacked again. In the next, they made it to the 10-yard line twice. And the second time he got down there, he fumbled it when he got sacked. He held onto the ball so long. It was unbelievable. It was like he was waiting for a train or something. I was like, what's he doing? Just standing on the train platform waiting for the subway? I don't understand. He just stood there with the ball and he got racked and then he fumbled. So he just cost him the game, and then Stidham threw two picks. Stidham, the first one went through the receiver's hands, and then Matthew picked it off and went hizzy. Easy pick six. The other one was a pass toward the goalpost. It was like a post pattern, and he threw it short, and the defender, you know, picked off the ball and ran it back like 20 yards for the Chiefs. So I did not think he had a nice floater into the corner for a touchdown. I thought that was nice to Harry, but I didn't think he did anything else. I just, you know, Jared Stidham. Now, remember, I got to be honest with you. When I was watching him on the sideline sitting there after, you know, he's sitting there with McDaniels after he threw the touchdown, I was thinking to myself that this is the future of the franchise. I mean, he's the future. That's for sure. Right now, it's Cam Newton's team, and Cam Newton got COVID, and Cam Newton couldn't play. So when Cam Newton couldn't go, they go to Hoyer, because they obviously don't trust Stidham. If they trusted him, they would have put him in, right, first, not Hoyer. Isn't Stidham like the draft pick? Is he not the future? Is he not the young guy that Belichick loves and that they think is going to, you know, replace Tom Brady? Bottom line, at some point it's going to happen, right? So he's the guy. It's definitely not Hoyer. So I'm sitting there watching and I'm going, this is the future. This guy's the future. And then I watched him play the rest of the game and I just thought he was terrible. So, I mean, they talk about how I've heard all this too. I've heard he's got command of the offense. He's got the respect of his peers in the huddle. He's a leader. I've heard all this rhetoric that I can handle. But the bottom line is, I watched him play, and I've seen him play in college. I've seen him play, obviously, at Auburn. I saw him play when he left Baylor, whatever. Bottom line is that guy had command of nothing tonight. Okay, absolutely nothing. And, you know, if he's the future, then right now I'd be scared to death. Now, obviously, he has all the talent in the world in his arm, and he could maybe turn into something and become something, and he could maybe be great one day. We'll see. But what I saw tonight was none of that. I didn't see any of that tonight. 1 minute you're down 6-3. The next minute, Hoyer can't get it done, fumbles the ball. Then they put him in, and they didn't do anything. He caught the one touchdown pass, and that was because the defender was sleeping. So I didn't think he did anything tonight. Well, Ridley just dropped a fourth down and 10 pass in the end zone right in his hands, but the defender knocked it out. So I thought the Packer player made a nice play to knock it out of his hands. And obviously, Ryan is frustrated. He's slamming his helmet on the bench, and obvious he's dropping bombs. He's very upset. And then Ridley's upset about it. But at the end of the day, the reality of it is that they're going to be 0-4. And on a bright note, at least they didn't blow a lead. In this game, they just trailed the whole game. So it's better than having some big, huge lead that they blew. So, Mafia, now that you're 0-4 and the Texans fired Bill O'Brien, if you're Arthur Blank, do you finally just pull the trigger, or is Arthur Blank totally afraid to fire Dan Quinn? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm starting to think that the owner's too nice. He's too nice to fire the guy, because he brought him back this year when I would say the best move would have been to change at the end of last year to a new coaching regime. And now I love Thomas. I'm friends with Thomas Dimitroff. Don't get me wrong. I really like Thomas a lot, but I think in reality, he's in trouble too.
Yeah, I agree with you because, you know, they spent all this money to bring these first rounders. And then, like you said, everyone's talking about, oh, they're so stacked on the offense, stacked on the offense. Well, they didn't improve the defense enough. And the draft picks and signings that they have made that didn't get the biggest splashes, you know, they weren't big in names, you know, they weren't getting the attention. Well, they obviously haven't panned out either. And not to say that big names always pan out, but it hasn't worked out for them at all. And they didn't really fix the part of the team that really needed fixing the most. So I would not be sleeping well if I was either of those guys. I mean, Quinn, and I know some people say, oh, well, maybe he'll try to, you know, you try to get to the bye week so the next guy's filling out the rest of the year, like, has some time to kind of readjust. And their bye week isn't until week 10. You're not waiting in much longer than this. You've lost four in a row. You keep blowing leads. You didn't have one in this one, but all these other games that you've blown leads in, there's only so much you could take before it's just you got to do something to show the fan base that you really care. Otherwise, they're not going to buy the jerseys and the tickets and things like that. It's just not worth it to them. So I think if not this week, it may be in a couple weeks. I mean, they got the Panthers up next week, so they have a chance there. But Panthers are looking pretty decent too, so that might be another one they lose. And then Vikings, Lions, Panthers again. There's a lot of games here that are against teams that aren't necessarily the best teams that they can still lose and make themselves look even worse. You might as well just, like you said, pack it up, pack it in. And honestly, I was just thinking, you know, we always talk about, oh, the Jets are going to suck, and do they draft Trevor Lawrence? Or, you know, do the Jags end up drafting him even though they like Minshew if they suck? How about the Falcons? Do you replace Matt Ryan with Trevor Lawrence if you end up being the number one pick? I think so.
Yeah, I would. Obviously, you have to consider it because his career is not getting better. At this point, it's just not getting better. It is not. It's getting worse. And that's just all there is to it. Now, let's go back to the other game for a second, because I got to tell you, when it was a close game or whatever, I just thought the Patriots, like, just screwed it up so badly themselves. The hit on Mahomes by Wise on the sideline, I don't know if you saw the play, but the big lineman tackled Mahomes out of bounds and grabbed him by the horse collar, and then Mahomes did the Oscar performance and acted like he got dragged down and just, you know, he flopped and got injured. Like, he acted like he had been, you know, obliterated. But I didn't, I don't think Wise tried to hurt him. He tried to stop, but, you know, they're talking about a 300-pound guy, and it was not happening. And, you know, he tried to grab him from getting hurt. I think that was pretty apparent. But he still hit him and dragged him down out of bounds. So they threw the 15. Then the rookie, Dugar, he got busted for pass interference on Kelsey. And then it was one mistake after the next. And then you get Mahomes. He drops back, and he's got no pressure whatsoever by the Patriots pass rush. He's standing back there cooking hot dogs and burgers on the grill in the pocket. He could have sat there all day. And then when he gets any kind of pressure at all, he steps up in the pocket and then he takes off running. And when he runs, Mahomes gets 20 yards. I mean, it's never 5 or 6. It's 20. Have you ever noticed that? Like, if you watch the game tonight, he broke off running a couple of big runs. And it's just unbelievable to me. It's the kiss of death. Here, let's cheap shot him out of bounds. Here, let's tackle Kelsey on the pass route on a third down, first down. Let's not have a pass rush so that Mahomes can do whatever he wants. And he ran literally all over the field and down their throat. And then they ran a couple of trick plays around the red zone and got in the end zone. And that's that. That's all she wrote. And they had Hilaire Edwards playing well. They had everybody. Hill had a touchdown. I mean, that team, 1 minute they're up 6-3, the next minute they're kicking your ass. So there's no getting around that they're good. I mean, there's just no getting around that Kansas City is, you cannot get rid of them. You cannot. I mean, it's starting to look like every week that they're just unbeatable. I mean,
right. And then,
the Chargers had them by the onions, but they let it slip through their fingers. Everybody else, they'd kick their ass, Moff.
And that's the thing with that team. It's, you know, we talked about them last week when they're facing the Ravens on Monday Night Football, where the Ravens are so, not almost say one-dimensional, because it's not giving them enough credit, but where they have their game plan, their ways, and if they get down, they can't really come back. You know, they play the one style of game, and if they have to change it up, that's where they have issues. the Chiefs are different. Like I said, Mahomes obviously can just improvise on any play, no matter what's happening. And that's his biggest strength. That's why he's getting paid that ridiculous amount of money that he is, because the guy makes things happen even when there's nothing to be found. But they could change their style too, and that's what they've done over these years. You know, it doesn't matter if you get a situation where for some reason you're somehow shutting down the passing game a little bit, or you know, if guys are banged up, because they've had that over the years with, you know, Watkins and Hill being out games, or Kelsey being banged up from time to time. If they're going with, you know, third and fourth string receivers and he can't really find them as well as he does these other guys, well, you know what, they'll run it and they'll mix that up and run that, you know, whether it's him running in on an option or the running back running between the tackles, or even just flaring out little passes to the running back. They'll do that. And then a game you have a bad secondary, or you load in the box and try to shut down the run, or try to get in those lanes and get Mahomes, well, you know what? He's going to just throw it over the top to, you know, Tyreek Hill and to Travis Kelce, who you can't cover because he's too big. They're so adaptable on how they can play to, even like you say, a game like this, you're not scoring. When do you ever really see Kansas City not score? They're playing the Ravens, who are supposed to be the second best team with a great defense, and lit them up from the start. This game, they weren't. They were struggling the whole time. The Patriots doing a great job defensively on them. And you're getting into the fourth quarter where you're tied. Well, not tied. You're down three. You're 13-10. You might as well be tied in that book. Like, if you're only down three to them in the fourth quarter and you're in the game, like, that's a situation every team in the NFL would pray to have and be, you know, they'd pay $1 million to have that situation where they have a chance of these guys in the fourth quarter and not down three touchdowns. And then you just choke. And that's the thing. You mentioned the dumb penalties by the Patriots. And that's where we were talking earlier before the season started about all the guys that opted out on that defensive side. The guys that left, the guys that opted out, you were down to, you know, much lesser talent. And while they've done a great job of making those guys play better and get as much as they can out of them, every now and then it's going to rear its ugly head in situations like that. Close game, you're tight, you have a shot, and you make a dumb play that gets you a penalty that a good veteran at the upper level of that team would not make. But these guys that they have to bring in these situations are making those dumb mistakes.
So Edwards-Helaire ended up having 64 yards in the game, and then Harris on the other side for the Patriots had 100. The Patriots ran the ball down their throat the whole game. That was how they got into the game. They, I felt like, you know, they really rushed the ball well, and they had 185 yards rushing on 35 attempts. The Chiefs had 94 yards. And then passing, Mahomes 229, and 19-29, and he didn't throw any picks. Meanwhile, Hoyer and Stidham, 3 picks between them. They just looked so naked without Cam Newton. It wasn't even funny. Neither one of them got the job done. And now the Packers are going to punt the ball to the Falcons. And with just under 2 minutes left in the game, and they're going to get it at the ball goes through the end zone. So there you go. But anyway, how about this? The Patriots ran 74 plays to 55 for the Chiefs. The Patriots outgained the Chiefs 357-323. They had one more drive. I mean, they had the ball longer, 31-34 to 28-26. They did everything right. They had 21 first downs to 19 for the Chiefs. The bottom line is, and the Chiefs weren't even good on third down, 4 of 11. But when it mattered most, late in the game, the picks and the mistakes, the penalties, I mean, it just got to the point where, I mean, they just gift wrapped it for them and handed them the win. So right now, Packers up 30-16, a minute 46 left. You got a player down on the field for the Packers. The Yankees won the game 9-3, so they lead the DS 1-0 over the Rays. And they got it all tonight. They had it all going. I mean, LeMahieu, 2 for 5. Judge had a home run. Hicks was 3 for 4. Voit was 1 for 4. Stanton hit the grand slam. Urshela 2 for 5. Torres 1 for 4. Frazier hit a home run. Gardner 1 for 2. Getting Shiggy with it, 2 for 4 with a home run. I mean, Cole went 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Green, Britton, and Sessa all pitched. And Cole got the win. So there you go. And I'm sure that at the end of the day, I got to see who they. Snell was the loser. 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, gave up 3 home runs. Home run. And then the Astros today beat the A's 10-5 for a 1-0 lead in that DS. So just so you know, tomorrow you've got the Yankees and Rays. That's at night at 8:10 Eastern. The Padres-Dodger game will be the late game at 9:38 Eastern. Dodgers favored, minus -1.5. The Marlins and Braves. Braves minus -200. That one is at 2:08. And then the Astros-A's game 2 is at 4:37. So the games are split between FS1. The Braves game and the Dodger game will be on FS1. The other games are on TBS. Yanks-Rays, Astros-A's. Those are tomorrow. And then, of course, tomorrow night at 9 Eastern, the Lakers and Heat game 4 of the NBA Finals. And then after that, they will play game 5 on Friday night. Game 6, if necessary, would be Sunday. Game 7 would be a week from tomorrow on Tuesday the 13th. So you're going to see a game tomorrow, and then you're not going to see one until Friday. So if the Heat win tomorrow, they tie it up. If the Lakers win tomorrow, I say they'll finish off the Heat on Friday night. Well, at least the Falcons seem to be friends with everybody on the Packers when the game's over. They're all laughing and hugging and high-fiving and taking pictures and selfies with their buddies on the Packers. I mean, because they do nothing else right. At least they apparently get along with everybody on the other team. When the game's over, they're all besties. But I got to tell you, watching them go again, 0-4 now, they lose again. They did nothing. I mean, they didn't make a game out of that. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. I thought the one game was good for a minute. It was 13-10, and then it all fell apart, and they started taking stupid penalties, Gabe, and then they got their ass beat. The Chiefs just always find a way to kick everyone's ass, and then Rodgers did the same thing to the Falcons. You think they'll fire Quinn finally?
The Atlanta Falcons are a disgrace, Scotty. A pure freaking disgrace. Matt Ryan sucks, all right? This guy has evolved into Andy Dalton. They've turned into the Bengals. The fact that there's tens of millions out of work Americans right now, and Dan Quinn is cashing a check for like $100,000 every 2 weeks is a travesty as well. I'd like to work for Arthur Blank, Scotty. I mean, we could probably do coke on the job, you know, like a crash a forklift through the wall over at Home Depot. Sorry, Mr. Blank. No problem, Scotty. No problem, Gabe. Yeah, we'll give you another chance. How the hell does this guy? I'd leave them all there. I'm dead serious. I'd just tell them, guys, our team plane's broken. I don't know. You guys got to stay at a Motel 6 outside of, you know, Racine, Wisconsin or something. Screw these guys. They suck. I'm dead serious. I wouldn't pay. Like, they all suck. They're all taking. Dude, you can hear them talking smack all night. You're losing by 20, and then you take selfies with them after. They're pathetic, man. What a disgrace.
I wonder if you could get some blow in Racine, Wisconsin, if you got stuck in Motel 6 and the team left without you. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Sports Rage is next. Sports Grid Overnight Radio.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.